and quote for work locally. Try us free until 1st of May 2016.
If you need expert financial advice you can both understand and trust on your savings and investments, retirement planning, equity release or life and health insurance, talk to the experts at Facts and Figures Chartered Financial Planners. Phone 01233 722 922 or check them out at www.fffp.co.uk. Facts and Figures. Independent financial advice everyone can follow. www.fffp.co.uk.
I'm off my jack, keep your hands off my stack.
Jobs in Kent.com.
Rift Accounting. Safety in numbers. Riftaccounting.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 17th of November, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin. We've got a guest on the phone right now, a lovely lady called Severin Herso Hagberg. Have I pronounced that even remotely correctly, Severin?
Yes, thank you. That's correct. Thank you so much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. You're from Exalt Lifestyle, and we were talking just now to our listeners about the Kent Unconference, and you kind of won a kind of mini competition to appear on the show today to kind of pre-tell us what you're going to be talking about. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes.
Sorry. No, that's okay. Don't you worry. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do and what your business is about, and then you can kind of tell us what you're going to do at the Unconference.
Correct. Yeah. Thank you so much. So basically, I founded Exalt Lifestyle, which is a concierge lifestyle management company.
Right.
Which offers 24/7 services to our customers and members. So basically, concierge services, lifestyle management, and to give you some concrete example, it could be running day-to-day errands, it could be organizing travel, securing VIP tickets. So we basically use our time to free time of our customer and members.
Fantastic. That kind of thing always makes me smile, because when I was quite young, which was a long time ago before anybody else says that, I used to read science fiction books when I was younger, and there was a chap called Robert Heinlein who wrote a short story called We Even Walk Dogs. And basically, it was a prediction of a company that did really what you're just saying that you do, which is kind of run all kinds of errands. Would you even take my dog for a walk?
Yes, that's right, exactly. So that's the type of request we receive all the time now.
Right.
Especially during the weekend, if you need some help, you know, just early in the morning, half an hour, you need some help to walk your dog, that's exactly what we would do.
Okay, and I've got a job for you. Could you go jogging for me?
Yes, love that. Just do the half marathon.
So jogging with the dog?
Yeah, no. Brilliant. So you can do the jogging and I'll claim responsibility. I go, no, I jog every day. I just outsource it.
Exactly, yeah. So you can do anything.
What is the strangest request you've had since you started your business?
Blimey.
Well, I think, you know, I don't think there's any strange request, but it's really very, very bespoke, specialized request, you know, maybe... Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Finding a dentist to come to your home that speak, you know, your local language. For example, as you can hear, I'm French, so I have also other international clients. You know, it could be, you know, just trying to find someone that will bring the best roses from the city to your wife. So I think it's very, very diverse, and that's what I like about the nature of our business.
Okay. And how long have you been in operation, Severin?
So we started beginning of this year, so it's rather new.
Okay.
And what is your range? You know, how many sort of miles can you travel? Or have you got sort of underlings that will spread out?
Yeah, so we cover now, we started in London, we're based in London, we're covering now the overall UK, and we are now gradually expanding outside of the UK. So we're very, very flexible, and we're also conscious that, you know, our customer future members, you know, do not have time. So that's basically the nature of our business, to, you know, to to bring services to you, to them, and to travel for them.
Fantastic.
Is there some sort of membership fee, or how does it work?
Yeah, so the way it works is that the services can be bought a la carte. So if you just need a couple of hours, then this is really doable. So we are very flexible about this. So otherwise, you know, if we see after a while that you require regular services, then you can actually go into membership. So yeah, we are, you know, either a la carte or membership.
Fantastic. So, are you coming to the UN-conference on Thursday?
Yes, certainly. Yes, I will be there.
We're looking forward to meeting you there. And what is it that you're going to be pitching there, Severin?
So, I think we're just going to cover what we do again, and also, I think most importantly, you know, challenges and mistakes we make, we've learned from, and, you know, very, very keen on sharing this with anybody else. It's been a big, it's been a journey, really, to set up the company. So, but very, very keen to share that with the conference.
Fantastic. We're really looking forward to that. We're looking forward to meeting you. We're looking forward to hearing from you at the UN conference, and we're really excited about the whole thing on Thursday. And thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker show today.
Can you
give us a mention for both your website and your Twitter handle so that people can follow you, or they can look up and find out more about what you do and understand better, you know, how they might utilize your services?
Yes, certainly. So the website is called www.exaltlifestyle, so EXALT lifestyle in one word, .com.
Right. Okay.
And you can follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, as Exalt Lifestyle as well.
Fantastic. Severin, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunk Show. It's been lovely
to hear
from you. We love the sound of your company. I love the sound of you outsourcing my fitness regime and doing it for me. That sounds right up my street.
Look forward to that.
Absolutely, and I shall be buttonholing you on Thursday and getting you to do stuff for me.
Thank you very much.
And we look forward to meeting you and hearing more from you at the UN conference. But for the moment, Severin Hesse-Hagberg, thank you so much. Exalt Lifestyle, and you can find out more about them by going to their website, and the links to the website are on the Kent Business Radio website as well. So thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you on Thursday.
Thank you. See you on Thursday.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
I apologise for the line there. It wasn't a great line. It did sound like she was probably giving someone a bath at the time.
Yeah, no, you know, it was a bit echoey, but it happens.
But
yeah.
Very, very interesting, wasn't it?
It is. Yeah, I love services like that. And I really am. When I first read the Robert Heinlein short story when I was about 8 or 9, and it really struck a chord with me because I just thought, what a fabulous thing. Now, as a science fiction story, It was actually, they were commissioned to build an off-planet anti-gravity tank for some intergalactic conference. But the thing that really caught my imagination was they actually just walked dogs and did stuff. And we were talking earlier about the computer industry and all the rest of it. Bearing in mind, when I was 7, none of that kind of stuff existed. And the whole thing about this story was what we would now call a call centre or a help desk, where a group of people sat there in front of what Heinlein called telemonitors, what we would now call computers, and he basically built a picture of everything that has happened in the last 50 years, but he wrote this story in 1947 or something. And you just think, that is just so amazing that you could actually describe something that actually exists in 50 years' time, almost word for word. And that's what really fascinated me about it.
Because when you look back, when I look back to the 50s, people just had time. My dad used to be a manager of a building society, and he used to come home for lunch and mow the lawn.
Yeah.
In his lunch hour. And
they were lazy back then, weren't they?
And then he'd trundle back. You know, my mum would cook him a proper lunch, and she'd be on hand to do that, a 50s housewife. And then he'd trundle back, and then he'd be home at 5:15 precisely.
Yeah.
So much time. Where did you know, all that go?
Yeah, sure. You know, I mean, but life evolves, doesn't it? And things move on, and we have a different type of lifestyle these days.
Well, personally, I think that emails, I don't know about you guys, they eat into our lives, you know. don't you think, coping with emails?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that drives me nuts is when you get into an email chain about something that's not remotely of interest to you, but because your name was in it in the first place, you then get every other email that everybody in the world sends to cover their backside, and you end up with a million things, and you don't read it. And then you miss the one that was directed at you that says, are you okay to do this? And you just go, yeah, without reading
it. I did that. I got back from... Did I tell you I was in Savannah? Charleston.
Just before... Mrs. Serkin says anymore. Do you know who the worst culprit at sending me rubbish emails is? Go on, have a guess. Go on, have a guess. Google? Just off the top of your head.
It's not Code Club, is it?
No. No, it's Mrs. Serkin.
With her
ridiculous emails that she sends me with no content in
them.
Well,
I had a lovely invitation to go to Kent Young Chefs, and I literally got off the plane, had jet lag, had to do a show in London on Saturday, so this was the other Friday, and I just skimmed it, and I said, yes, I would love to come with my microphone and do this, as I did the previous year. And then I went to that gig yesterday at Eastwell Manor, which was fabulous, and discovered that the gig I'd said yes to was last Friday, because I'd just skimmed it. So... yeah, I think email is difficult. I get too many.
Enough of that. I'm going to read a couple of emails and then we're going to talk to our next guest.
Okay.
I've had an email, which is a bit of a plea, so I want you to pay attention to this. It says, please forgive for the forthcoming nature of this email. I'm involved with a kickboxing academy in Gillingham, with members ranging from age 3 to 72. I'll fight the 72-year-olds. I've been involved with this academy for over 10 years. Unfortunately, our premises have been sold. So we are looking for a new home. We are looking for an open plan space, office or small warehouse or an industrial unit or something similar that can be converted. The site must come with plenty of parking for all of our members. And we're ideally looking for 2,500 square feet in the Medway area, anywhere between Raynham and Rochester. If you have a suitable space for a long-term rent or know someone that will be interested, then please could you let me know. The club is a fantastic hub for kids and adults in the Medway area. Both my children are members, so I've been firsthand what an amazing influence the place has been on all those that attend through all the age groups. I'm hell-bent to find a new home. It would be great if you could help me or find someone that could help us. Thank you in advance, and apologies again for contacting you in this way. It's not a problem at all. That's from Steve Gull, and Steve runs the Paul Whiffin Kickboxing Academy in Medway and in Gillingham. And they really, really desperately do need to rent some new accommodation. So if you have some industrial space or open plan space around about 2,500 square feet with some parking around it, please can you get in touch with Steve ASAP and let him know. You can get in touch with Steve by emailing him at stevegull, G-U-L-L, 23@hotmail.com. Or you can contact me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk, or contact me any way you can contact me and let me know, and I will pass the details on to Steve. But please, people out there, do try and help. If you know of any space between Raynham and Rochester of that dimension that he could rent to keep his club going, please let us know.
Yeah,
we would really appreciate it.
Steve Gull, G-U-L-L.
G-U-L-L, yeah.
Friends with Cliff.
I beg your pardon?
Friends with Cliff.
Yeah. You can't get the start.
You've got to keep up.
Memory.
Can't remember.
The next Kent Creative Live group show will open at the Pie Factory Margate on the 20th of November. The show will display 70 pieces of work by Kent artists who responded to the theme Memory, covering a variety of mediums: painting, sculpture, drawing, photography, textile, video, installations, etc. From personal to collective memories, all can be contemplated and enjoyed at this exhibition. It's at the Pie Factory Margate, which is 5 Broad Street, from the 20th to the 25th of November, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can find out more about it by going to the piefactorymargate.co.uk, piefactorymargate.co.uk, and find out about the Kent Creative Live Show. Natalie Beneig, for it is her that runs Kent Creative Live art organisation, actually now does a show on Channel Radio, and you can listen to show number 2, which will be on later this afternoon at 4 p.m. and I'm sure she'll talk about that exhibition some more then, so do check that out. But you know what, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome back to the Business Bunker Show, a great friend of ours. I think you were last here a year ago.
Almost exactly a year ago, yes.
He only comes in winter.
We tweeted out a few photographs of Oliver earlier, and so he's a bit of an orc. it's understandable he only comes out in winter. But Oliver McNeil of Legend Quests, welcome back to the Business Bunker Show. It's an absolute pleasure to see you again.
Thank you very much. And I think last time I was under Legend Studios.
You were indeed, You do lots of different things, don't you?
I do a lot of things, but most of them are linked. Well, I think they're still linked. I think I was here last talking about my photography, and I've got a studio over in Bodiam.
Yeah.
Near the beautiful castle, Bodiam Castle, just past the steam railway, and have Legend Studios.
Yeah.
And
you do photography for celebrities.
I do, yeah.
Like me.
Of course, you will have my highest profile. No. Wait, you're very high profile.
No.
Here, in this room, you are.
Exactly, yeah. This side of the desk. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes, I do. And a lot of the people that come to me, actually, in the fantasy genre, when I say fantasy, I'm talking about... there are photographers out there who do fantasy, but I actually do the wizards, fairies, mermaids... Mm. And I have done for over 10 years now.
It's an interesting marketplace. I know you're not here primarily to talk about it.
I don't mind promoting that as well.
But we're going to go for this as well, because it is fascinating. Because when I first met you, you came and did some photos for me. We had Tom Baker, former Doctor Who actor, on one of our shows a few months ago. And you do a lot of work with Tom, I know.
I do.
And some other celebrities. And then you started telling me about this fantasy stuff. And I gave you an odd look first of all, you know, what do you know, like, we're talking rubber suits here. And then you went, no, like, not that kind of fantasy. And I got even more freaked out when you started telling me about fairies and stuff like that. but it's actually a really big market, isn't it? And there's a lot of stuff going on in that market space.
It is. I mean, it's, if you look at Victorian photographs, you know, you have kids dressed as fairies then. But it's taking that, well, my style of fantasy of photography is more geared around artists such as Arthur Rackham. Or Brian Froud, you know, I like to take it. It's not Disney style. It's as close and as real as I can get it in my small studio, and it's very controllable spaces.
Yeah.
I have fog machines in there. I have moons that light up. Wow. I'm coming from a theatre background. I want everyone who comes through, whether they be, you know, a toddler or an adult, to feel they've had a magical experience while they've had the shoot.
Right, absolutely.
And also have a nice photograph as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Of the day.
Yeah.
But 90% of it is that they're having fun.
Yeah, absolutely. This fascinates me because my kids are both boys, so they've not been into this kind of thing.
Well, I have as many boys as I do girls.
Do you really?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, that's a strange comment to make, because boys love the whole dressing up, you know, as knights and
In fact, more guys get into fantasy later on,
right?
You know, with the games.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And the girls
kind
of lose interest a little bit.
Yeah.
Although, actually, that's probably a sweeping statement.
Ollie and I were saying before the show that you would make a fantastic wizard. Because you're very tall.
I am a wizard.
We think we're going to dress you up as a wizard.
A wizard? I thought you said wizened.
Yeah. Wizard.
A wizard. That'd be fun.
No, absolutely. No, but one of the things I was saying, I was at an exhibition in the summer, and there was a guy there selling fairy doors.
Mm.
I don't know if you've seen
What's
such
a fairy
thing.
Door?
Well, they were lovely, beautifully made wooden front doors. But fairy size.
Yeah, you put them in the garden against a tree.
Yeah.
Or a skirting board.
Yeah.
And then you can say...
And I'm looking at these things, and they're gorgeously made. They're all hand-carved and handmade, and I thought, they're really beautiful. But why would you want a fairy door? And then the whole thing, there were queues of people there buying fairy doors. I'm like, blimey, I
went to
never
a fairy festival last year over in Wales.
Right.
And, fairy festival.
Yeah,
I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah, no, there's a few fairy festivals. In fact, I have one myself each year as well, which I was...
What, on your own?
No, not just me.
Yeah, he gets his wings out and his little one, and he sits there.
December the 25th.
Yeah.
No, and there's a big industry in fantasy, props and costumes and literature and, you know, obviously I think I mentioned last time I was here, probably, the top 10 movies of all time. Most of them are fantasy. You've got Lord of the Rings, Star Wars. Yeah. It's as big as you can get, and there's a huge amount of money out there for it.
Sorry to interrupt, but this is quite funny. My youngest son and I were in Nando's in Ashford eating a meal. And the waitress kept hovering around our table, which is really unusual in a Nando's. They normally don't pay any attention to you. Yeah, exactly, hovering like that. She had wings. And she eventually walked up to my son and she went, "I'm really sorry to interrupt. Could I have your autograph?" And he said, "Who do you think I am?" She said, "You are Jon Snow, aren't you, from Game of Thrones?" And Stu, my son, does actually look quite a lot like Jon Snow, but she'd actually peered over his shoulder. And his home screen on his phone was actually a picture of him, and I can't remember the lady's name, Millie, whatever, the actress that's in Game of Thrones.
Right.
Because Stu is actually a Bristol Vic. He works in the business.
Yeah.
But he wasn't anything to do with Game of Thrones. But he had a picture of him and her together, and of course he looked like Jon Snow, and she just thought he was, which was just amazing.
Fantastic.
I thought Jon Snow was a newscaster.
Channel 4.
Which worried me a bit, because Stu's much better looking and younger.
No, he's a character in Game of Thrones. Apparently,
Ollie and I have got to watch Game of Thrones because we haven't watched it.
No, we haven't.
Which is worrying because I've swanned around the web with Vincent Coyle, who's apparently the torturer in Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I did a Game of Thrones wedding a couple of years ago.
Right.
But we still haven't seen the programme.
Yeah, and that was great fun. That was at Warwick Castle, and they had all the houses and the horses coming in.
Well, I was going to ask if you did fantasy weddings.
I do all types of weddings, and I now do videography for weddings as well, and I do a lot of castles and a lot of big houses, and they're wonderful to do. They're really, really great.
Must ask you something about DVDs for weddings, because I went to look at my one with my new husband, and it's sort of corrupted. I phoned up Jonathan Ryan, a bit like my marriage, really.
Which one?
I phoned up.
She's had a few.
Jonathan Ryan, my friend who's a photographer, and he said that after about 5 years, they can, stop working these DVDs.
They can.
What do you know about that?
Well, you only got the one copy, have you?
Off the photographer, yeah.
Okay, well.
And I'm sure I've downloaded it somewhere.
Hopefully that is your answer. Find where you downloaded it.
I think it's on a hard drive.
When I'm doing videography, I store it on a hard drive as well. It's got a backup copy there. But it is very hard. If you can store it online, that's probably better. It might be a little bit late for you, but if you do find it, go and put it on somewhere like Vimeo or YouTube. Just store it
forever
on the cloud.
Or in the cloud,
on there's stuff
out. But this is something that most people don't know, because I was talking to my cleaner about it, and she said, "Oh dear, my well, she doesn't talk like that, and she's very posh.
Mrs. Overall, is it?
Yeah. She said, "Oh gosh, she said my DVDs. She's had one done recently.
Yeah.
So people, Joe Public does not know that a DVD will only last really about 5 years.
Well, it depends on how much it's played. I always do three copies.
We get ours out most nights.
The chance of all three copies, I do three copies. One for the bridal groom, and then sets of parents.
It all depends on the quality of the DVD as well, doesn't it? Whether you got a cheap DVD or a decent one or whatever.
Well, I'm sure it was burnt properly.
It's like anything, though. It's like records back in the day. You could scratch it. Scratch a DVD, or you put it in a player where the player's slightly offset, it can damage the DVD. You should always take a copy.
Yeah.
Anyway, apart from that, apart from your wedding photographs, I mean, the trouble with Jules is there's not enough storage space on Google to store all of her wedding photographs from all of her marriages.
I can't help being popular, Paul Andrews, The fact that nobody else wants to marry you is, that's
why would they? But anyway, enough of that. And it's interesting talking to you about all those things, Oliver, but I want to move on to what you're involved in now, because
absolutely,
Legend Quests is really cool. And we've already put out a couple of photographs of one of your compatriots that joined us earlier.
Yeah.
So tell us some more about Legend Quests and what's happening there.
Okay, if I can talk briefly about the genesis of it, and it goes back to when I was about 14 years old, and this is what kick-started the whole fantasy love. And it was a set of books written by a chap called Ian Livingston and Steve Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And they were called Fighting Fantasy Game Books, and they were the Choose Your Own Adventures. And when I was young, I used to read those, and they got me into sort of wanting to make props. And
because that was your background, wasn't it? Theatre props.
That's right. I used to get the illustrations, and I used to paint them on my bedroom walls.
Right.
And from that, I got into theatre design college, and you know, a few years later, and now. With this Legend Quest thing, I actually do work with Ian Livingston, who also he bought Dungeons and Dragons over from America.
Right.
He was the European distributor for D&D. He also created Games Workshop. He then went on to create Tomb Raider. Well, he was part of the team that created Tomb Raider.
Right.
And he's our project advisor for this. And also some of the original illustrators from 30 years ago are now doing work for me for this project, which is amazing.
Wow.
And some of the writers for these books as well, because eventually these books became so popular, the publishers kept saying, right, we want another one. And Ian and Steve just couldn't cope with the demand, so they brought in other people, and it was under the title. So Jonathan Green, who is a writer, he writes for Doctor Who and all kinds of things, he's writing some bits and pieces for us.
Right.
We've got a guy called Jamie Thompson, who's he used to write those, and he wrote his own game books, and now he writes a series called Doom Lord, which is a children's book, which won the Roald Dahl Funny Book Award a couple of years ago, and they all go around schools, they're geared around the age groups. Now, what I wanted to do was incorporate that style of storytelling for families, as a family entertainment. So what I've created is an interactive fantasy game show of sorts.
Right.
It's quite tricky to describe.
Hard to describe.
It is hard to describe because it is unique.
Right.
The set that has been designed is made out of over 40 flattage. Well, flattage is basically what sets are made from.
Right.
And they're vac formed, so they actually look like real brick walls. They
look
like real panelling, church windows, cavern bits, crystalline. And then they're all on wheels, and we attach them together so we can create different room shapes.
Right, okay.
Now, the actual game mechanic is that they're in a tavern. They're all the players, about 30 players, all sitting at different tables.
Mm.
And they can be families, they can be groups of friends, and this is a magical tavern.
So does this take place physically? So are you actually all
you
in one place?
You are actually there, yeah. We're using theatre props,
right.
We're using puppets, we're using real magic, and the people I've got involved.
Real magic.
Real magic. Well, I've got guys who design illusions for the top professionals.
Okay.
I've got the guys who make props. In fact, I've been tweeting him while we've been chatting here. Who makes things for Doctor Who and Game of Thrones? All these professionals. In fact, I bought the Goblin mask. That you saw on the Twitter.
Oh, it's a goblin. Yeah. Sorry, I called it an orc earlier.
Yeah, that's okay. You're
so where has this goblin mask been?
Where's it been?
Where's he going?
Where's he going? Well, he will be one of the characters that will come into the tavern. So the whole game show. It's funny calling it a game show because it sounds like a TV. You don't tend to have theatre game shows.
Yeah.
But it's let's say we all sat in around a table here, and you have a set of curtains open, and they're magical curtains, and they start off as part of the tavern, and when they close, they're going to reopen, and it's going to be a scene from a story that's being told to you.
Right, okay.
And you can take one person from each table, and they'll have to go into that scene and work out. So there's a lot of team building going on.
Wow.
There's a lot of...
It sounds a bit like... Dungeons and Dragons meets Crystal Maze.
Yes.
I'm kind of getting it.
I was thinking of those dinner parties, you get
a little bit
invitations.
It's a little bit of all
I always
murder mystery. Okay.
Well, one of the things I really, with all my clients that come through my studio, it's a huge generation. And you have families, the mum and dads are more excited than the kids half the time.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going, we're taking them to the fantasy studio, and they've got this woodland here, and they go, oh, and they're trying to get into it. And I want to take that and put it in them in an adventure and get them interacting, so that, you know, they can be, okay, Dad, who's what are we going to do here? Well, we've got this spell here, and oh, there's a goblin coming in here, there's an elf over there, and they've got to work together, and the entire audience have to get through the adventure.
Fantastic. So it would strike me as well that, as well as the family-orientated thing, you could also do
business.
Corporate and business team-building type stuff.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah. That's one of my roles in my life has been a team leader for the Prince's Trust.
Right.
And this is an ideal team-building exercise.
Yeah.
Because if they don't all get through this adventure and team together... some people will die and fail dragged off to the dungeon.
I can imagine HR dealing with that really well.
Yeah.
we're sending you away and some of you are going to die.
So, there's that. But it's designed to go into any school, any hall, any village hall.
Wow.
So part of the way we've launched it is... We want local businesses to get involved.
Right.
So if you want us to come to you, let's say you're in Canterbury and you're a estate agent and you want to sponsor it, that money will go towards the promoting and your name will be on it.
Right.
And it would be something fun, which might, you know, will get yourself out there, but it also connect you with families and the new market.
How long would you spend... are there different sort of times? Would you go in for 6 hours or an hour?
No, it's not designed to be that long. Because if you've got families in there and children, the attention span, although the time does go very quickly, 2 hours is quite, that's longer than a pantomime.
Yeah.
You know, and you think how long that's
going to
be.
You're all hemmed in together.
Exactly.
Squabbling.
Yeah. And it's also quite intense. You know, cause
it must be.
When you have.
On the spot.
When you're this close and you've got some marauding orcs coming in. And they're only like a few feet away.
Oh, they're terrible when they start marauding orcs, aren't they? I have so much trouble with that. Yeah.
But we have done this before. We did it at our fairy tale day. We have a storytelling fairy tale day over in Bodiam every June. And we started off by doing outside because it's easier to create a scene if it's a woodland, because the woodlands look very similar than they did a thousand years ago they do now. So you can set it at any point in time. And we had children going in and a storyteller taking them through a route and the parents looking on just to make sure that their child wasn't overwhelmed. And and children coming out it's just like a game, a video game, but real.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, well, this is it. But it'd be nice to get people... or kids to interact with their families in a fantasy environment without looking at their iPad or their phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and get that enjoyment. I had a child in the other day who was having a fairy shoot, and I was trying to describe it to her, and I said, "Have you talked about Minecraft? Have you played Minecraft?" She went, "Yes, I love it. It's like live Minecraft." And she went, "Oh, I've got to do that."
Right.
You know, so it's hitting a lot of people who...
And how old was she, roughly?
She was 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
42. It's a fascinating thing. It's something that interests me from a slightly different point of view. Orcs and elves and goblins and fairies and the whole Tolkien stick. What a lot of people don't realise is the background to all of that. Tolkien himself was professor of Anglo-Saxon at Oxford University, and a lot of this stuff is actually from the Anglo-Saxon pantheon of theology and the whole background. So it's actually, in this country especially, it's actually deeply ingrained in our society, and we talk about things like elves and goblins all the time.
Leprechauns.
Without really realising what their history is and where they come from and what they represent.
Well, look at garden gnomes.
But some of it's really fascinating because we've now made things like elves into little people.
Yeah.
But in Anglo-Saxon mythology, an elf was actually a disease. You were what was called elf shot. If you went down with something... it was a disease caused by an elf shooting you. But the actual description of it is actually quite prosaic, and it's actually quite clever if you change the words from elf to virus and stuff like that. It actually kind of works. But so from that point of view, that historical point of view is kind of deeply ingrained, which is, I guess, why every age group in, takes to it so well, yeah. because it's part of our own culture and mythology.
The other thing that we wanted to do with Legend Quests... and members of Esthian Quests, because there's more than one. We want people to replay it. So right. they're going to come along, and it'll be our first adventure we're doing is the Curse of the Scarlet Sorcerer.
Right.
Now, the second one can be, you know, we get them to come back. Right. You know, that's a nice thing. You don't tend to get that with a play. So yeah. I don't know, you've played it.
Unless they're dead, of course, and then they can't come back.
No, they can come back. but we can tailor it. This is the point. We can tailor the sets of challenges to age groups, so you can take it to a school and it can be all the kids playing. Or we can make it a little bit more fairy tale, or we can use like real stories from folklore.
Right.
You know, so we can bring in educational aspects.
Absolutely, yeah.
Or team challenges. You can tailor it towards a business, you know, and just make it more about communication or more about... well, you've got lots of businesses that listen to this. I'm sure they can think of
absolutely.
Their accounts department getting into scrapes.
It sounds like a brilliant team building.
We could talk about this all day. It's an absolutely fabulous thing. And I'm sitting here looking at the back of an... is that an orc or what is it?
It's an elf.
It's actually a goblin.
Oh, it's a goblin.
I'm sitting there looking at the back of a goblin here, which is a better view than I normally get looking at Jules, which is really cool. And I know Oliver, and I know the work that he's done in other fields. And
he managed to make you look very debonair.
He did indeed, yeah. It's amazing what you can do with lighting, isn't it?
Quite a feat.
I'm really excited by this because I think it's fabulous, and I really can't wait to see some of this in action and to participate. So, where are we now? What stage are we at, Oliver? Where are you going from now? What do you need our listeners to do, if anything?
Well, there's a few things they can do. I mean, the first thing is come along and sort of join the Twitter army. That'd be nice. Or the Facebook army, so you get regular updates.
Yeah.
We are going to be originally, we did some crowdfunding, which eventually moved to GoFundMe. Right. You can still help. And fund us if you want to go and play.
Yeah.
And we are going to be doing some playtesting down at Hastings
right.
On the 23rd of December.
Right. Okay.
Around about sort of 4 o'clock-ish. And if you donate £15, you can play. You get one ticket. If you pay £40, you can bring the family.
So a whole army of orcs.
we are advising at the moment that the children are over 8.
Right, okay.
Because when we were rehearsing it, I found it quite overwhelming, and you know, I'm writing it,
and it scared you.
It's going to be okay. Oh, gonna be, yeah. But that'd be an interesting experience for John.
Good for a hen party or a stag do.
Could
do a whole thing there.
Yeah, definitely.
It's got millions of applications, isn't it? Because it just sounds like a whole heap of fun.
Yeah. But we are also, you know, very interested in talking to people who either schools that might want it. To come to them, and also people who might want to sponsor it for their town or village,
right.
Because this, you know, like I said, it can go in a village hall, you know?
or a
function room in a pub. You know, if it's big enough, it will go in there.
Brilliant.
But people that have events as well. I'm thinking like Hilary Steele and things like that when she had a photo booth.
Could you imagine Hilary in it? She'd be brilliant, wouldn't she?
With a sabre.
Yeah, she could be the Wicked Witch.
Yeah.
Without any shadow of a doubt, she'd be brilliant. Yeah. Sorry, Hilary, if you're listening. That'd be brilliant. Yeah. We could talk about this all day, Oliver. Sadly, we're running out of time. Give us a shout for your Twitter handle, your Facebook page, and your website.
Yeah, of course. It's, thank you. Okay, it's at Legend Quests.
With a S.
With an S on the end. If you want to have a look at my photography, it's www.legend-photography.com or on Twitter with Legend Studios. If you put in Legend Photography anywhere on Google, we've been there long enough, we're there, and we update all kinds of different things.
There are links on the Kempis Radio website to Oliver's various activities, so do click on those. For the moment, Oliver McNeil, Legend Quests. Legend Photos, Legend Studios, Legend. Just Legend, yeah.
Goblin.
Legend. Just thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to
you. My pleasure. Thank you, Paul.
We're loving what you're doing, and we're going to have a go at that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for that. We're kind of fast running out of time. We've got tons and tons of tweets still coming in. We've got loads of emails still to read. I'm going to catch up on a couple of tweets. Iconic Beauty in Gravesend, just getting ready for all of our Christmas beauty packages. You can follow those folks on Iconic Beauty 1, number 1. Iconic Beauty 1 on the Twitter. And Big Jam Studios, Vanillaware, Business Bunker. Could we have a shout-out, please, for corporate videos? We film for companies around Kent to increase their online video marketing. Thank you. That's an absolute pleasure. Jules, do you want to do an email?
Yes. Chambers, this is very exciting. It's an exporter's lunch, and it's on the 27th of November, which is a Friday. It's the Kent Invicta Chamber in Ashford. It's 11:30 to 2:30. Member price is £10 plus VAT. Non-member, 15 plus VAT. And they say, join us for an informal buffet lunch to network with fellow exporters, raise technical questions, and update yourself on the current initiatives running both nationally, regionally, and locally. Hear how the British Chamber's Global Service for Small Business can help you connect with new markets and updates on the government's plans for export growth, as well as local Kent-based initiatives. And, of course, take the opportunity to talk to our documentation experts from the Chamber and our partners. So very interesting there if you are interested in exporting. It's Friday the 27th of November in Ashford, and all details are on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Fantastic. We've had a tweet from the Meditation Trust. Listening in the office again, please can we have a shout-out for our intro talk at Bleak House Broadstairs tonight at 6:30pm.
Thank you. Which I read beautifully about half an hour
ago. Did you read that tweet?
Yes.
Did you?
Sally Laker is saying hello as well, listening in. Morning to you, afternoon to you, Sally. Cool. Who else?
We've had Lawyer Fair tweeting in, reminding us that they've got a lot of podcasts that you might want to listen to.
Oh, they have some really interesting ones, mostly of you and me.
And Kent Tweet Ups, this Thursday, 10 a.m, Hotel Continental Whitstable. Free, friendly networking.
Always a nice venue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Richard Allen Hubbard, who's on your channel radio, he's tweeted in. New follower, Food and Taste. Who else? Oh, Supply My Beers have said, why not get Steve, who was on earlier, to post his requirement on Supply My Beers. Do you remember Steve Gull?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's looking?
Yeah, so we will get in touch with Steve and remind him to do that.
Was Steve on Twitter?
No.
Okay.
I'll email him and tell him about it.
Okay.
Andrew Bottelli has also tweeted in. We've got dozens of tweets. We're not going to get around to all of them. I'm sorry. I will try and cover them again next week. But do keep them coming in. But we can't get around to everything because we're running out of time.
MindFit Golf, hello to you.
Cool. Hello, MindFit Golf. Rising Stars, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Guest speaker, Ash Lawrence, from employee to entrepreneur. The forum aims to help those destined for future leadership roles to develop their management and interpersonal skills, expertise and contacts. It's taking place at the Best Western Manor Hotel, Gravesend, on Wednesday, the 18th of November. That'll be manana. That'll be tomorrow. So Ash Lawrence is the speaker. Rising Stars, 6 p.m, Best Western Manor Hotel, Gravesend, tomorrow evening. Laura Burton-Lawrence has sent in an email on behalf of the Dementia Friendly Kent. Hi, Paul. I would be really grateful if you could give this a mention on the show. I'm sending this on behalf of Simone Salwan, who's Director of Home Instead Senior Care Tunbridge Wells Seven Oaks and Edenbridge office and co-chair of the West Kent Dementia Action Alliance. The first Kent Dementia Awards ceremony will be taking place on Tuesday, the 17th of December at Sessions House in Maidstone. That's County Hall. They're trying to make businesses across the county aware of dementia. You can find out all about it by going to their website, which is dementiafriendlykent.org.uk. dementiafriendlykent.org.uk.
And it's the final Curry and Beer of 2015. It'll be on Thursday, 26th of November, 6:30, at the popular Raj Mori, or Moni. I haven't got my glasses. M-O-N-I, that is, in Plaistow Lane, Bromley, BR1, 3PA. That's Curry and Beer. And you can go to Curry and Cane, C-A-I-N, and beer.co.uk.
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the show again when we give you a news update from the Federation of Small Business, Kent and Medway. Jules.
FSB News, Paul. Pension Auto Enrolment Roadshow, which is in Dover, and it's at the Best Western Plus Dover Marine Hotel and Spa, Tuesday 24th of November, so that's next Tuesday, I believe, and it's, as I said, at the Best Western Hotel, at 9:30 to 10:30, and that's Pension Auto Enrollment Roadshow. And then there's an FSB Skills, which is Thursday the 3rd of December, so it's a diary date, 12:30 to 15:30, at Longfield Academy in Main Road, Longfield, Kent, in the United Kingdom as well.
Well, there you go.
And that will be on Kent Business Radio if you want to see the links.
Just to let you know, we've got a new page up on the blog site.
Have you?
Yeah, it's called News Update. And in there, we will be regularly putting these things that we're about to read out in there, so you can read it more. And you can also click on links that takes you to more detail.
So that'd be like the diary for your diary?
Yeah. European Parliament plans corporate tax reforms. The European Parliament's Special Committee on Tax Rulings has voted to adopt its recommendations for making corporate taxes in the EU fairer and more transparent. MEPs intend to push ahead with ambitious plans to promote comprehensive EU tax reform, and the committee's measures are intended to prevent multinationals from moving profits to low-tax jurisdictions within the EU. About time. Mm. This will be achieved through the use of tax rulings so that loopholes and contradictions within the EU's 28 national tax laws are closed. MEPs are basing their recommendations on the principle that multinational companies should pay their taxes where they make the profit rather than where they declare the profit. It's not taken them too long to do that, has it? But at last they're getting round to it. Apart from the loss of public income, it's considered unfair that big companies pay very little tax on their profits while small and medium-sized businesses have to bear the brunt. It doesn't say that. I made that bit up at the end. Jules.
Subsidised training for small charities. Training providers have been invited to bid for funding to provide subsidised training to small charities with an annual income up to £1 million. The training will be delivered to eligible charities between mid-February and June of next year, 2016. The Office for Civil Society will select between one and three providers to deliver the training. The successful providers will share £100,000 in total and will also be required to produce a free fundraising resource for the small charity sector. You can find out more by going to www.gov.uk/government-news-small-charities-fundraising. Simpler way, just go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Absolutely. There's new guidance about zero-hour contracts that has been published. The Department for Business, BIS, has published guidance for employers about how zero-hour contracts should be used appropriately. The guidance provides examples of best practice, such as clearly advertising that a job role will be under a zero-hour contract and that the hours will not be guaranteed. It also states that late cancellations of work is unacceptable, except in truly unavoidable circumstances. Suggested alternatives to zero-hour contracts outlined in the guidance include offering existing staff overtime, recruiting part-time employees, or using temporary staff. And just in case you don't know, some months ago, Parliament passed an act that outlawed the use of exclusivity clauses, thankfully. So do not do that. If you're using an exclusivity clause, it is now no longer allowed. You can find out all about that by going to News Update on the Kent Business Radio website and finding out the details. There's links to all of these to the appropriate websites where these news updates came from, with much greater in-depth coverage of all the things in there. There's a two-year plan to increase the take-up of R&D, research and development tax credits and tax reliefs. HM Revenue and Customs has announced a two-year plan to increase take-up of research and development tax relief among small firms. Measures will focus primarily on increasing awareness and making it easier for firms to apply for this type of tax relief. For example, HMRC will publish improved guidance to help increase firms' understanding of R&D tax relief and provide businesses certainty through the Advanced Assurance Scheme. Under the Advanced Insurance Scheme, which will launch in November 2015, HMRC will assure eligible firms that their first 3 years of R&D tax relief claims will be allowed without inquiry. So basically, you just got to apply for it.
Sounds good to
me.
Nice
one. Yeah.
FSB Skills, this is Thursday the 3rd of December at 12:30 to 3:30. It's at the Longfield Academy in the Main Road, Longfield, Kent. 30 businesses and 30 students will be thrown together at the first FSB Skills 30-30 event. if you're looking to recruit and care about your next employee and the future workforce, then this event is for you. And go on to Kent Business Radio to check that out.
Fantastic. There's a report that small firms are highly dissatisfied with legal service providers. That'll be lawyers to you and me.
Yeah.
And that's remained
broker.
Yeah, unchanged over the last 2 years. Research published by the Legal Services Board has indicated that 13% of small firms believe lawyers are cost effective. And a survey of 10,500 small firms earlier this year produced the same result. Think you got a problem there, guys. Many of the firms recently questioned said they went to an accountant rather than a lawyer for legal help. And around one in two described lawyers as a last resort.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so I think if you're a legal firm looking to do work with small businesses, I think you need to up your game, guys, because it's not coming across very well at the moment. And as you said...
Yeah, contact Barrister Broker.
Contact people like Russell Burton Lawrence at Barrister Broker and Sunil...
Sunil...
What?
It's brilliant.
Thank you. Who's a barrister specialising in motoring law. And I'm trying to think of his Twitter handle. I think it's Motorist,
it's,
I think it is.
I know. I'll look it up while you chat.
But you can now use a barrister without using a solicitor. And that's been enforced for a couple of years. And if you go to someone like Barrister Broker, he will put you in touch with the relevant person that can help you. And also, a great supporter of this radio show, lawyerfair.com, which is a legal comparison website and where you can find lawyers that specialise in your area.
So Sunil is at Sunil, S-U-N-I-L, underscore K-T Law, L-A-W. You can find him there. He defends drivers or companies facing road traffic prosecution, kenttrafficlaw.co.uk.
Thank you. Have you got any more of those news?
Well, there's a consultation, Paul Andrews, on business rates appeals system. The Department for Committees and Local Government has launched a consultation on proposals to improve the appeals system for business rates.
Yep.
A straightforward three-stage appeals process has been proposed, and the consultation is open until the 4th of January. So Marcus Jones, Minister for Local Gov, said the business rates appeals process has been in a decades-long deadlock, hampered by some unscrupulous agents making speculative appeals, sometimes for businesses unaware that this is being done on their behalf. Sorry, sometimes for businesses unaware this is being done on their behalf. So go to 3W's government.uk, government news, Marcus Jones improving the business rates.
There is a link on the Business Bunker site to that.
Read all about it.
Yeah, they're basically they're asking for people to submit ideas and ways forward of going forward with business rates, which are causing enormous grief all over the place. There's a lot of work to be done on business rates, and it has a huge impact, especially on the high street. So do get involved in that if you have anything to contribute or you'd just like to find out what's going on. We've still got tweets coming in. We've had a tweet from Cascade Insurance that says, hello from Julie and Mark at Cascade Insurance. Listen to the show, another great sounding show. Thank you, guys. That's Cascade Insurance Brokers, who I think are in Medway. If I remember rightly, they are in Kent, I know.
Yeah.
The gorgeous Irish author Miriam McGurk has also tweeted in saying she really enjoyed listening to Dan at Code Clubs and to Ollie at Legend Quest. Thank you very much for that tweet, Miriam.
And she enjoyed the pictures, she said, too.
Absolutely. What's she seen? She's been at the movies. Oops.
Now you're showing your age.
Oops, I'm in trouble. Hillary was listening. She's tweeted in.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Sorry, Hillary.
Oh, no. You called her a wicked witch.
No, I just said she'd make a good wicked witch. I didn't say she was. I said she'd make... I'm backpedalling here.
She'll come with a sabre.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've seen her in action with a sabre. I know.
So have I. She pops a cork for anyone there, that girl. Do you remember the opening?
Yeah, no. I'm not going anywhere. You're not dragging me into your little fetid world of imagination. We've had a tweet from Meditation Trust, who are amazingly made up, that we've read their tweet out twice.
Who is that, Meditation Trust?
The Meditation Trust.
We're omming, aren't we? We're meditating.
Absolutely.
You know, we're in the zone and the space.
And Towers Design have said, please can you give a shout out for our printing services, high quality and Kent-based. towersprinting.co.uk. So there you go, Ben and the team at Towers Design, a shout out for you. Right, Have you got anything else that you need to read there?
No, I'm fine. I'm all done, really. Well,
are
I've got
you?
One, but it's not really in your FSB thing, so I've got it
no,
for
you
next
can,
week.
No, you can read that.
Do you want me to?
Yeah, you can read that.
Okay. So this is about Tudor oak chairs. I found this fascinating. I want to spend more time on it.
Yeah.
But it's Tudor oak chairs in James Bond.
Right.
Craftsman's built handmade chairs by Kent firm Tudor Oak have received global exposure by appearing in the new James Bond film, a bit like you, Paul Andrews.
Absolutely.
You've been in that, haven't you?
I have.
Spectre, which was released nationwide on the 26th of October and is due for worldwide release on the 6th of November. We've passed the 6th of November, haven't we?
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah, but the film was released. It's out now on release.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Our master craftsmen, they say, have been making luxury furniture for all of all styles for over 45 years, as well as a range of period oak doors, windows, solid flooring and other architectural joinery. So they have, for Spectre, what they did was the team at Tudor Oak produced 40 of our best chairs and carvers, which appear in one of the central scenes of the film. It's made to a traditional 17th century early English design. You'll remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of
I
your
was
age.
At the time.
Because
yeah,
of
yeah.
your age.
Yeah, yeah.
They feature during. They feature turned under frames and are upholstered in the finest coffee brown hide. The designs Blimey. Were adapted to an exacting specification provided by the film's Oscar-winning set designer Anna Pinnock. So well done, Kentish firm Tudor Oak. You can find them on tudor-oak.co.uk. Absolutely brilliant. Get in touch and say you heard about them on The Bunker.
Fantastic. Cascade Insurance have tweeted to put me straight, quite rightly. They are, in fact, in Ashford, not in Medway. So
close.
Cascade Insurance are in Ashford. But I guess they deal with businesses all over the place because they're an insurance broker. So thank you for that, Cascade. We've also had a tweet from Supply My Business who said, we absolutely love listening to Legend Quests and we're...
poor Dan, that's really... Oh,
no.
We love Dan as well, don't
they
we?
Didn't say they didn't like anyone else. They just said they're really into this whole fantasy shtick.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah, which is, you know, one of those things,
well,
isn't
I
it?
I love Dan as well.
Yeah, we all love Dan.
We don't have favouritism on this show.
No, absolutely.
We
got
do
loads,
love a goblin.
We got loads of tweets still coming in, but we're kind of fast running out of time now. And I want to tell you about what's coming up later on tonight.
Welcome aboard the New Potato Show. Hey, this is Jamie from the New Potato Show. Join me live every Tuesday from 7 until 9 p.m. on channelradio.co.uk. We'll be exploring the best in new music from around the world, having 18 tracks and 2 hot potatoes for your listening pleasure. Tune in. Dig up.
New Potatoes with Jamie Andrews on Channel Radio.
And tonight's show at 7 o'clock is the third anniversary, the third birthday
wow.
show of New Potatoes, and it's a best-of show, and there's some real stonking stuff on there, so do tune in and listen to that. And New Potatoes is followed at 9 o'clock by a brand-new show on Channel Radio, I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet. I'm not going to tell you anything about it, you just need to listen. It's on at 9 o'clock, 9 till 10. And it's a really cracking show. And then that, of course, is followed by the one and only...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down!
Full drum beat and a squidgy bass. I give you Vanilla Ace and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So you can listen to George at 10 o'clock tonight, 10 to 11, on the Club Culture Show with Boy George on Channel Radio. But that's it for the show this week. Thank you so much for listening. We'd like to say a massive shout out to all of our guests. Dan Powell of Code Club, Severin Herso Hagberg of Exalt Lifestyle, Mr. Oliver McNeil of Legend Quests, our 4 interviewees from the Get Social event, and a big thank you to Jill Serkin and everybody that tweeted, emailed and joined in the show.